This is the Galaxy Wars podcast with your host, The Grays. Greetings and welcome back to the Galaxy Wars podcast. We are your host, The Grays, and if you listened to our last episode, you know that we went into fan theories. I brought a lot of Star Wars fan theories, and Tom brought a lot of other galaxies fan theories, and in this episode, we are focusing strictly on Star Wars, not fan theories, but we're going to talk the release of The Last Jedi. We'll do a little preview of it, and then we'll do a spoiler-filled review of it. So, at this point, if you haven't seen it, you might want to listen to this part, and then we'll do a spoiler alert at the
last 10 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, so about 50 minutes in, you'll get a spoiler. Yeah,
don't check out. We'll tell you when.
Yeah, you'll get a spoiler for you. Or not spoiler for you, spoiler alert. So, Tom, we haven't really talked Star Wars in this podcast ever.
Yeah, it's true.
Other than the fan theory. So, what's your general take on Star Wars? I know that you're a Trekkie. Our listeners know that you're a Trekkie. So, what are your general takes on Star Wars?
I thought I had a pretty rare opinion, but I talking to other people, I think it's... my opinion is kind of like a lot of people. I don't really think it's science fiction.
Okay.
It's a fantasy more than anything. I think there's correlations between like Tolkien.
Okay.
World, and I mean, like, you could. It's the same story. It's, you know, a couple people walking towards the enemy, but, and you know, Jedis are just wizards and things like that. So. Just because it's in space, does that make it science fiction?
Well, to me, it does. Right. But I know that that's not
100% true. And I know they release it as science fiction, but there is never any science discussed. They don't discover, like...
Well, in Rogue One, the science behind the lightsabers was discussed as far as the kyber crystals. That was the first start. And then, like, the midichlorians...
Horrible retcon. But
is that the justification to making it sci-fi because of people that
I just think of, like, the driving force behind it is not science or not using science to solve the problems of what's going on. And that's and it's fine because it can be whatever. And people call it a Western. People call it a space opera. Space opera is cool, but I don't see it's a space opera.
No, and I'm glad it's not a space opera, because if there were singing in Star Wars, you would count me out. And
so I don't see it as science fiction, but I mean, I love it just like everybody else does. Yeah. Like I follow it, and I'm pretty deep into it, and read a lot of the books and stuff like that. So,
and we're doing an episode on it. So, right. I was hoping that you weren't going to be like, "Well, Star Wars sucks. We're done," because that would have been terrible. But I understand where you're coming from with the Western aspect, because the original concept art of the characters that George Lucas had proposed were like cowboy types,
mm-hmm.
like C-3PO kind of stayed the same. Luke Skywalker had a pretty cool like 12-gallon hat.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was a cowboy. So it's a story set in a galaxy far, far away, but...
It could have easily been set on one planet.
Maybe they have the sci-fi aspect of it is the space travel and, you know, the other worlds that we see.
I mean, if we're going to... Even then, I'm thinking, like, if we're going to allow a lot of the Marvel movies and say they're science fiction...
Yeah.
And these are science fiction. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's just like, I mean, obviously everyone, the majority thinks they're science fiction. I just really don't.
They're space movies.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think it's safe to call, I don't know why they can't be called space fantasy.
Okay, so do you think that there should be a new kind of like subgenre to science fiction? Like, space fantasy,
or
like science fiction action, like,
yeah. Well, I mean we have enough subgenres of everything. They're not the real hard sci-fi that, you know, that's why there's such a division between Trekkies and Star Wars fans.
Yeah,
it's because the Trekkies like the problem solving, the short story problem solving that goes on in a Star Trek episode.
Yeah.
And that's usually based on science fiction. That's why a lot of people don't like Discoveries, because it's not single episode science solving the problem type deal. It's like a broader thing. It's a bigger series wide.
It's like an ongoing experiment.
Yeah. It's not like science doesn't save the day on this episode or, you know, it's nothing like that. It's kind of a bigger story. So that's the only, other than that, I think it's great.
Yeah.
They've all been great movies. Well, not all of them, but I mean,
those ones in the, late 90s, early 2000s, they'll be omitted from our discussion. I mean, some people love them. I know a guy who says, think Phantom Menace is his favorite Star Wars movie. So, you know, I'll have an intake set up for him at a local psych hospital. But,
and I've read, I mean, as far as knowing things, I probably know more about Star Wars than I do, because it's just, it really is everywhere.
Yeah.
With, like, you know, I have a 10-year-old stepson, loves Legos, and it's everywhere in Legos, it's everywhere in books.
Everywhere in stores, as far as clothing goes. You don't really see a lot of Star Trek shirts at Walmart.
Yeah.
But Star Wars, you can find everything.
So, which is, you know, the genius behind it all is it was made to sell, whether that was its original plan or eventually, it was just made to sell things and to license it. So
yeah, and I mean, I think that was the original plan, because if you look at it from a perspective, George Lucas sold the rights to the movies to all these studios. I know Fox had the rights to New Hope and the original trilogy until Disney bought them, but he just wanted the toys.
Yeah,
he said, just give me the merchandising for it, and he made a killing off of it.
Still making it. He'll make
and he created characters in this upcoming movie, or the one that's out now, Last Jedi, that were specifically designed for toys. Porgs, right. Crystal Foxes, stuff like that. And there's some other... There's a really weird, like, manatee cow thing. You know, with Luke. But that was a really weird animal as well. But they're definitely toy grabs. Do you think Star Wars is overall, the most overrated galaxy? Or not galaxy, fandom?
Sometimes the fans are fickle, so it's hard to say if it's overrated by the fans, because the fans will love anything that's new, but then they'll slowly grow to hate it in some ways. So overrated, to some extent. I think the problem is it's so old. Like, I took Binks last night to see it, and he actually realizes this, thinks it's his favorite one.
Okay.
But that's because there's no way you could have this is now going on, for almost 40 years?
Yeah.
You can't have 40 years of...
I think this is the 40th anniversary, 77.
Yeah. So this is going on for 40 years, and the original movie takes place, and we love the original movie, but when you're seeing the things that they're putting out now, like... And the effects and the graphics and the stories are really good. But the effects and the graphics are big, because that's what Star Wars hangs its hat on. So when you see that this... And everybody knows how to sword fight. You know, movie sword fight.
Yeah.
And you go and watch the first one, you're like, it's not that great. Like, it doesn't... Nothing holds up from that time. Yeah, it's a great story. And, like, if you... I'll still watch it every time it's on. But it's really not that great of a visual movie compared... Yeah. It's just never going to be.
It was like one of the first of its time kind. So
yeah, it's groundbreaking really back then. Yeah. Now it's just like it's a bunch of puppets and models, and you know, there's a guy that could go make that on his computer.
Yeah,
like down the street, they can make something look better. So
probably two stories from where we're at right now, he could probably make one. But you think about going back to the original Star Wars in the 70s. You know who auditioned for the role of Luke Skywalker? Robert Englund.
Really?
Could you imagine Freddy Krueger as Luke Skywalker?
Yeah, well, that's wrong. I mean, he would never had to. He would never done Nightmare.
Yeah, and I don't think Star Wars would have been as successful.
No.
So he
was he ever young?
I don't know.
I don't remember a young Robert.
Well, he's the reason why Mark Hamill auditioned.
Oh, yeah.
Because I guess they were friends back in the day, and he said, "Hey, there's a role that I auditioned for, and I know I didn't get it. So you should audition for it," and they sent it in there. So, I mean, the whole world could have been changed.
Yeah.
Mark Hamill as Freddy Krueger, and
Mark Hamill got into the accident, like he got into a motorcycle accident, right? Mm-hmm. That was that between the second and third movie?
I believe so.
You could see it on his face after that. I mean, and it's good that he's been going through some troubles and training and all that, because then it's like, well, maybe that's why he looks that way, but yeah. Yeah, and it made Mark Hamill a household name. He never has to. It's a shame because I would have liked to see him, but we like him as a voice actor. Yeah, so.
And he does the Trickster on The Flash.
Yeah,
and he's in a movie called Brigsby Bear.
Okay,
that came out this year. That's pretty underrated. It's about a kid like going to save his childhood show that he loved.
Mm.
So it's a heartwarming story. It's funny too. I recommend it, but. Let's go into we'll move from the 70s. We're going to skip over to the early 2000s, and we'll go into when Force Awakens came out. What were your thoughts about Force Awakens coming out?
I didn't know what to think. Obviously, we knew it was coming. I think we did. I think they, you know, I think it was a pretty quick announcement after the second trilogy.
Yeah, well, once Disney bought Lucasfilms.
Yeah, they announced that right away.
Yeah, they're like, we're going to put out a Star Wars movie.
And I think once the cartoons became so successful, and you still had successful toy lines and mm-hmm. Legos and everything else. I think Disney had no choice but to say, okay, well, we have to finish the story, you know, the trilogies. So, and when it came out, I think it was great.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think it was a good time for it to come out, because it was right at the beginning of the nerd world, right?
Yeah.
Or maybe not the beginning. It was probably in the middle, because superheroes were really popular, so it was probably 5 years into the Marvel experiment. So they brought it in, and they did a great job with it. The castings were good. Some weren't. We'll talk about them in a bit. But I think the Force was awakened in a lot of the Star Wars fans, so it broke everybody out of their funk. Like, okay, sci-fi is really popular, and with the popularity of Star Wars Force Awakens, it kind of ushered Star Trek back in. Blade Runner came back, you know, it was like, oh, we can do movies from the 70s or the 80s, and we can...
Well, I mean, we're stuck in that they won't make anything new. They just won't.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. You're just not seeing anything new for a long time. Everything has to be under a banner. And I see. It's hard to, you know, Valerian might be a bad example, but that's an example of somebody trying to give birth to a new franchise.
Yeah.
And we see it that way. But then you say, hey, look at John Wick. They did it.
Yeah.
You know, that's a birth of a new franchise. They don't have to redo anything. So, I mean...
But you get new properties like John Wick, and for every John Wick, there's an Atomic Blonde that comes out, and it's supposed to be the next John Wick, and it flops.
Yeah.
So, and it's tough, because we're either in reboot culture or sequel culture. We're going to get a new Resident Evil from the Resident Evil that was 4 years ago, and we got a 35-year-old Blade Runner that probably wasn't needed.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, there's some things that people cry for resolution.
Yeah.
But that's part of what makes it famous. That's what, you know, makes it, you know, what makes people remember it is there was no resolution to this storyline.
Yeah.
And it didn't ruin it. You know, like,
It's like Aliens.
Yeah.
You know, they should have stopped at Aliens.
Yeah.
Not brought it into the 90s and said, all right, we'll bring it back and we'll do Covenant. Because Covenant was awful. So you bring in these movies that people, maybe they're not asking for a sequel. Did anybody ask for a remake of Point Break?
No.
No, but we got one.
No.
So it's one of these things, like, we're going to see all the movies we grew up with being remade instead of the new properties. And I can only...
Well, and for me, like, this is kind of off the subject, but I could see remaking a science fiction property or rebooting or, you know, continuations of a science fiction property.
Because of the technology?
Yeah, technology and graphics. But Point Break is a story.
Yeah.
There's no graphics. It's just a couple guys doing... It's like watching the X Games at this point.
Yeah, do you think Mountain Dew had some sponsoring behind that? Like, we need Point Break back
in. That I don't understand is, like... The first point for, I don't necessarily like Point Break, but it holds up.
Yeah.
There's no reason to remake it. Like, with what? What are you going to do?
Especially with nobodies.
Yeah.
Like, people no one's ever heard of. I get that, like, back then Keanu wasn't a big name, but if you're going to redo Point Break, maybe at least include Keanu as like a mentor or like the bad guy.
What's it? Yeah, that's okay. If you could change, if you could make it better with technology, and I think that really the only thing you could say that about is fantasy, action, things like that.
Yeah.
Because they could film action sequences better, and they could film, you know, better CGI and graphics all together. But if it's just a story, why do you need to remake a story if the original story is good?
Yeah, and if you're thinking about all the movies that came out in 2017, I can only think of maybe three that were, or four, that were original properties. So you have Get Out, Valerian, John Wick, John Wick 2 was a sequel, we can't really, and Shape of Water.
Right. Well, so
that's really all I can think of. Everything else was a sequel between like Daddy's Home and Bad Moms, and Kong was a remake, and Fast and the Furious and all that stuff. It was all sequels and reboots.
The majority of what you just brought up were actually really good movies.
Yeah. I know you're a big fan of Bad Moms Christmas and Daddy's Home.
Well, I meant the new properties were all pretty good movies. So. Yeah.
Get Out might win Movie of the Year.
Yeah.
Or that's not even an award. Best Picture?
Yeah.
If we're speaking professionally, Movie of the Year, that's what we give it. All right, we'll skip over Rogue One because that was a story set in the 70s, and we'll go right into The Last Jedi. So, going into The Last Jedi, what were you looking for? What were you predicting? Now, you saw it, I saw it, and we'll try our best to be
Saying I'm right or wrong, I'll tell everybody what I me and you had a conversation. I said what I think is going to happen is, since like Luke is kind of the only master and the bearer of the Jedi, I thought that he was going to say, let's just do away with the Jedi. There is no, let's not just do away with Jedi, let's do away with the light and the dark.
Yeah.
And go gray. And that's the only way that you could, by Jedi setting themselves higher than the average person, it just left so much room for the, like, when darkness crept in, you know, you fall so far, and that's why you become so bad. But if you were trained to handle a little bit of each, and learn a little bit of each, and learn how to handle it originally, I think you'd just be a better, more well... Because you don't see Jedis being that well-adjusted.
Yeah.
None of them are.
I only see Jedis dying.
Right. And for what, in the end? Like,
yeah, for a war that's going to continue
only,
to happen.
And only to preserve their way of life.
Yeah.
I mean, they do fight for the right side, but it's more about preserving the light. Whereas if you had no light, you'd have no dark.
Yeah.
And if you just had people that were, if you just trained people to use the Force and all of its aspects and embrace a little bit, like, embrace the bad emotions that make you dark instead of burying them and saying they don't exist, because that's what they all do. Is it's a philosophy that says that you can't have bad inside of you. Well, that's impossible.
Yeah,
and we see it because all the Jedi like break all those rules.
Yep.
In some way. So
yeah, I mean, look at Anakin.
Yeah,
you know, he started as a Jedi and then went completely to the dark side. Mace Windu, we talked about in our previous episode, straddled that line, and you know, Luke showed signs of ruthlessness
all the time. Yeah. So that was my thing. Is I thought that's what might happen, is he just might do away with the Jedi Order altogether, and just as the best way to preserve the rebellion, or whatever they're called now.
Yeah, the
resistance.
Yeah, rebellion, rebels, whatever.
Yeah.
And to your point about the Jedi's always fighting the good fight, but they're fighting one or two people.
Mm-hmm.
That, and they're fighting the leader of that, of the Sith. They're not on the front lines fighting with the people who aren't held to a higher standard or higher code. So they have these armies behind them, but they're really not doing much. You know what I mean? Because like, for all, Luke did a lot of traveling and a lot of soul searching from the 70s to now, while hundreds of thousands of people died.
Yeah.
And it, you know, that's not a hero that I would want to
go
to war with. Because
And that's the thing, is like, you know, that's why we praise the Punisher. He's the one good guy willing to do what bad guys do.
Yeah.
And he, that's why he's effective. You know, he's also effective because they write him that way. But I mean, like, that's why people like him, though. He's effective, and, you know, we force him to be effective. But
and he doesn't rely on a team.
No, but it's if he, you know, if he was all bright and shiny, he'd be, well, he wouldn't even be Captain America because he's not even that bright and shiny anymore. So it's unrealistic and it's hard to accomplish. And if they embraced a little bit of that dark side, I think they could, you know, be a little bit more effective.
Yeah, I think
fighting the dark side.
I think C-3PO has seen more war than Luke Skywalker has. Think about it. He lost his arm. He's been blown apart before. Like,
probably more than any, because, I mean, from the first one, we know R2-D2 has been out of commission for like 30 years. He's just been sitting in a corner.
And C-3PO is just wandering the world, just doing his thing. But I agree. Well, I didn't have that same theory, but I thought that the Jedi would end.
Yeah.
You know, with the title of The Last Jedi, you think, like, okay, it's over.
Yeah.
Like, this is where it's going to be. Luke's going to die, and then you're going to move on to something new. We'll talk about what happened to it, but, you know, I thought that there was going to be some switches. Like, I saw Rey potentially going to Kylo and Kylo switching with Rey, whatever, just based on the way that the trailers were cut. Because they showed us, they gave us a lot of trailers, but a little footage.
Yeah.
But the way they cut it was amazing. It was like, join me, and they're grabbing their hands, and, you know, you're like, oh my God, Rey's going to go to the dark side, and I'm that sucker that they cut that trailer for, where I'm everything, I'm like, oh my God, Snoke's going to take Rey, and she's going to be a Sith, and, you know, Ben's going to save Leia, and he's going to become a Jedi, and then Ben's going to be the last Jedi with a really cool red lightsaber, and color doesn't matter, and it was just, it became real ridiculous in my head for what I thought, but... Going into it, I was like, okay, we're going to have an Empire Strikes Back moment. Like, it's going to be... They're very... The new trilogy is very much reminiscent of the old trilogy.
I was thinking the same thing after I watched it.
Yeah, Force Awakens is essentially 2014 or 15's A New Hope.
Yeah.
And then The Last Jedi is 2017's Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah. And... Without giving too much away, that's what a lot of people, you know, this has gotten mixed, very mixed reviews. And we'll talk about maybe why we think it has, but, and a lot of people say it's slow.
Yeah.
They're like, well, yeah, it, and I was thinking the same thing in a way, it's because they had to develop the story, and that's the same thing they did in the second, you know, in episode 7, whatever, So, I mean... It's crazy you have to say they need a whole 2.5 hour movie to develop a story, but if they're thinking long term in trilogies and they have a story like a line that they have to follow, this was the time to do that.
Yeah, because
this was the time to root out some of those little story quirks and so.
Yeah, to go back to what happened in The Force Awakens that people didn't like, you can remove that and fix it because the first movie in a trilogy. Is the introduction of the characters. We saw it in A New Hope. We see it with A Force Awakens. You need to reintroduce the previous characters to the new audience. And then you have to introduce Rey, Finn, Poe, Hux, Kylo, all those people, Snoke, all those people into the canon.
Yeah.
So the second movie comes along and now you're setting up the entire story. Like, why are these people like, what makes this the older character still important to the newer characters, and why is the war still being fought? So the last act of this trilogy is going to be the biggest one. So you're probably going to get a 3-hour Star Wars movie. At least, I hope so.
Or maybe
if this is the
two
end,
movies. Yeah, that's true.
And this is seemingly the end of the Skywalker saga.
The Skywalker saga, yeah.
So, you got to go big, right?
Yeah. And that's why... I didn't go into this thinking this was going to be the greatest story ever told, because they couldn't.
And it was touted as the best Star Wars movie.
Yeah.
Like, the day before I went and saw it, it was like, this is the every review I read. This was the best Star Wars movie ever.
You know, we've ran into this before, and we've had these conversations. It's like anything. When we agree and when we want to agree... We read reviews by critics, and we say, yeah, they're the smartest critics on the planet.
Yeah.
These are the same critics that gave, like, a thumbs up to our, you know, least favorite movies we've ever watched.
Yeah, the same ones that love Batman versus Superman.
Yeah. So, it's, you know, it's hard to, like, and this is really divisive. It's got, on Rotten Tomatoes, which we both think it was a sham.
Yeah.
The critics gave it 93%.
Yes.
But the audience is only giving it 56. It actually dropped a point from last night.
Wow.
So, and it's also on IMDb, it's dropped from an 8.1 last night to a 7.9. So it's not, audience-wise, it's not being reviewed so well. So, you know, critics probably saw, I mean, I don't know how a critic watches it.
Yeah.
So, I don't know what it, like, is a critic's eye going in with encompassing the whole story, like, the whole 9-movie story arc and giving it.
I would think so.
Yeah.
And then they look at how it's shot, the score, you know, the dot and the dot, how the dialogue's written, the costuming, stuff like that, the wardrobe, the makeup.
Right.
At least that's what I would go into if I were a critic. I want to make sure I can be fair. You know what I mean? But, like, with that, we can do a spoiler-free review of it now and talk about what we like so our listeners know where we stood and they don't have to cut off at the 20 minutes. But I thought it was better than The Force Awakens, personally. I think it developed the characters where we needed to. There was a lot more exposition between characters that were probably forgotten in the first one.
Mm-hmm.
And it just set up the tone for the bigger story.
Yeah.
And it gave us more planets. Like, we weren't just on Jakku and then the Rebel,
it gave us
Maz's place.
For Jakku, I kind of liked all the little things that you, like the animals that you got to see and all that.
Simon Pegg's character, the one who ran the pawn shop.
Right. So, I liked that. And I liked what was the name of the planet Luke was on? Do we know?
It was Ireland.
Yeah.
No, I don't think we ever.
But I liked his planet that they did work on. And,
yeah, the Temple of the Last Jedi is what they kept referring.
But they did a good cool animals in the background and skulls and stuff like that. I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah, and the stuff about that island, and I've talked about it before. Like, I went to Ireland and I saw all that stuff, but the houses, those little huts. And I posted on my Instagram, but they're called Clochans or Clochins, or I can't speak Celtic, but they're called beehive houses, right? So the monks built those. They lived there. Those steps that he walks up on the island, the monks carved those into the mountain. But the way that they included those in there and they kept that and they preserved it.
Yeah, part of the story.
And then, I guess this is a minor spoiler, but like the other people on the other things on the island were reminiscent of the monks.
Okay.
You know, that's how I took it as. Like, they were the caretakers of the island. The monks were the caretakers of the Skelligs in the Dingle Peninsula where they filmed it. But even in the movie, they never refer to the planet.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering if they ever did.
Because there was a scene where...
I know, it's because they don't really know where it is.
Yeah, because I know Kylo had said, you know, we'll find Skywalker. We know where Skywalker's at. We know what planet he's on, and we will go to Skywalker's planet. And that's
blow up the island.
Like, how do you know if you're not going to say it? I want to know where he was. But even going into the trailer and everything, like, the Porgs were really cool. And the Crystal Skulls, Crystal Skulls from Indiana Jones. The Crystal Foxes, they were probably the most intriguing things to me going into it. Just looking at them from a dynamic of, are they CGI? Are they practical? And then I found out that they were, in fact, a practical. They built that. They built an animatronic Fox, and they used like 10,000 crystals for it, and they moved the head and everything. So I think they made one, and then they gave it to Rian Johnson. Was like, all right, this is what you have. You can put it on. You can digitally scan it, but this is how it moves. And I would like to see that model. I'd like to go to like Disney and see if it's on display there. That'd be something.
It will
really
be
cool.
Eventually at Star Wars
Land, probably next year.
Yeah,
this year I think it opens in the summer. I want to make a trip down there, do a podcast remote.
This was, like we said, it was a necessary. I liked it because it did a great job of telling the story that needed to be told. Like, and we said it's not the most action packed one.
Yeah,
it is. You know, probably the best storyline. Mm-hmm. It's better storyline than Force Awakens.
Yeah, I think it's got better storyline than the previous ones, too.
Yeah.
Because there's so much more exploration.
Yeah.
As far as, like, characters that we thought were just going to be throwaway characters, we got more story behind them, more stories behind planets, more story behind animals and creatures and the history. So it really opened up the canon more.
Yeah, and that's what neat. Well, I guess depending on where the Rian Johnson's next trilogy is going to take place, we needed more canon. Which is cool because this is, as this whole thing is winding down and we're coming to the end of this saga, they're still introducing new things and new ideas and new technologies. So I liked it. I think I thought the story was great. It was a little slow, but that's only because there wasn't a ton of action. If you're interested in what they have to say in the story, you could pay attention to it. And I know I get what a lot of people are saying, I think. When we talk about that audience score of a 56, and
that's crazy. I think it's much better than a 56% movie.
I think that's the diehards.
Yeah.
I think it's the old diehards saying, you know,
less talk, more action.
Yeah. You know, we already know about all these guys. And so, I don't know. Like,
I think it's Harrison Ford and Calista Flockhart just on various emails, just logging in. Like, I hated it because Han wasn't in it or something like that.
Well, I mean, there's generally people out there that hate the new movies.
Yeah.
And they've hated, like, the first three are the only thing that matters. And that's fine because they were the best movies in, you know, for Star Wars. The other three were horrible. So, you know, like, Star Wars doesn't get everything right.
Yeah.
I think they did a good job here, and I think they did a good job on, like, Rogue One was awesome.
Yeah,
this was really good.
Rogue One was great.
So, we know that they can make good Star Wars movies and titles. So
with this being the first Star Wars movie from Rian Johnson, and then him essentially getting the keys to the kingdom and getting another trilogy, how do you feel about Rian Johnson's vision for Star Wars going forward? This was his sample.
I think it's great because, you know, he didn't.
He could have came in and said,
"I'm going to change the paradigm." He had to stray so far. Like, he had to. I think they had, like, definite ideas about certain characters.
Yeah.
And they wanted them to come to the forefront or go away. And I think he did a good job of doing that. And I think, he's handled getting rid of people and creating bad guys and making us care about the good guys very well.
Yeah.
So, I think, based on that, once he gets to his trilogy, his real trilogy, because this is not really his trilogy. It still has J.J. Abrams on it a little bit.
Yeah, and he's finishing it.
Yeah. This has his stink on it.
Yeah.
So, I think, though, once he gets his own trilogy and it's his ideas and his vision, I think it'll be really good.
Yeah, I think the Skywalker saga is kind of like an apartment, essentially. When the directors come in, they're just renting space. So you have certain parameters, and this is what you need to do, like you said, with certain characters. Like, this is where we want it. This is the worlds we want to explore. You can't go outside of that. And then once he gets his own house, he can do whatever the hell he wants. And he can, and he's not handcuffed with Luke, Leia, and Han. He doesn't have to worry about them anymore. He doesn't have to worry about Rey, Finn, Poe, any of those characters. So he could go do Knights of the Old Republic. He could do the Clone Wars. He could do the Unknown Region. He could do.
We've talked about it before. I really want to know what his, and I guess we won't know for 6 years.
So we have Han Solo coming out this year, this upcoming year, so 18. 19 is episode.
So the last episode.
Yeah, episode 9. So I'm sure we'll figure out between 18 and 19 that.
I guess they'll probably give them, if they're going to keep the same schedule, maybe 2 years after.
Yeah.
Maybe 20 or 21.
I'd give them 20 because 21 is when Avatar 2 comes out. Ugh. Yeah, no. Wait, 4 years. It's 11 years from the first movie. That's another.
And I didn't even like the first.
Yeah, me either.
Okay, whatever.
Yeah, I think we're going to find out. Maybe at, like, a San Diego Comic-Con, we'll figure it out when he goes there. But
they're going to start talking about it, and they're going to start selling it. And
yeah, they've already started like people are hitting him up on Twitter like, hey, you're doing Knights of the Old Republic. And he's like, no.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
But
he's ruled it out. And he could be just trolling everybody, but I think he's going to do something like completely trippy. Like I think he's going to take like a character and do like an origin story and just including everybody. Like what about like a three-part Yoda series? Like how he started.
Yeah, that's what I think something like that needs to happen. It needs to take us to somebody we don't know about or haven't heard that much about, Yoda. I mean, we've seen Yoda for 30 years, 40 years. We don't know anything about him.
Yep.
We only know he's been on three planets. That's it. So, a young Yoda would be cool, but that's a lot to ask of the whole entire planet of Yodas.
I would like an entire franchise about the origin of Sith.
Yeah.
Because essentially what we're getting is the origin of the Jedi with all the characters. Like Luke's going here. They really haven't introduced Darth Plagueis and all these characters from. So I'd like to see the rise of the Sith. Before the time. This is what happened.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's probably more touched in to the Old Republic where he's ruled it out, but that's what I would like to see.
Well, that's what we were talking about before, is the timeline's so big. There's so much that is thousands of years that remains canon. But I guess at this point it doesn't really matter, because we still know that this universe or these people have been around for thousands of years.
Yeah.
So.
And he might even just go in there and say, I know the solar system of what's going on in Star Wars. I know the planets. I'm just going to create new characters and I'm going to write my own story. And it's going to be cut from this. It's going to have that. It's going to have aspects of Empire Strikes Back, but it won't go back to it. So I think he's just going to build his own universe.
Yeah,
and that could be cool.
If we talked about Yoda, I would like to see Yoda, but that's a lot to ask.
Yeah,
a whole planet of Yodas. But I don't know. A lot of to narrow it down to one planet would be cool.
Yeah,
When it was pre-lightsabers and they used to be plugged into a battery, an external battery, that kind of thing would be kind of neat.
I want to see something more a darker version.
Yeah.
And we've talked about it, a black market in space. I want to see that type of stuff. Why are the bounty hunters out there? Who employ,
Well, we got to wait and see what Han Solo's solos are going to be.
It's going to be tough.
Well,
I'm very skeptical about
that.
They
might
movie.
Tell that black market story.
He's a smuggler.
We can't make any assumptions about until we see his movies and what that's about.
And then the Boba Fett movie's back on the table.
Right.
And hopefully it's not Michael B. Jordan and Josh Trank. It's a movie I wouldn't see. That would probably be the death of the Star Wars world. But before we go into our spoiler full review, what did you think about the characters, the new characters that they introduced, Finn and Phasma and Poe and those characters? We can go from Force Awakens, how they were represented there, and then did your mind change when we do our spoiler?
Not Force Awakens, we didn't get enough Phasma.
I agree.
Not much has changed in my mind.
Yeah.
She was great, and she looked great. She looked the part.
Yeah, honestly, if she didn't talk, you wouldn't know it was Gwendolyn Christie under there.
That might not have been.
Yeah. What about Poe?
Poe's great. I was just about to talk about it. This is a Poe-heavy movie. Yeah. I don't think we're giving too much away, but it's real Poe-heavy movie.
Is Poe the new Han Solo?
Yeah, he's got to be.
I hope so.
He's almost an exact replica of Han Solo, in a way. I'd like some backstory on him. Where did he come from? Because he's not 40 years old, I don't think. So he had to be born into the
who are his parents?
Yeah, he had to be born into the rebellion somehow.
And he's a heavy character that we really haven't gotten any origins for. We got an origin for Rey, Finn. We got an origin for Rose, the new character.
Yeah.
We didn't get one for Poe yet.
So,
what about Finn? Finn is probably the dividing line for most people. I think that I think that they wanted him to be the next Han Solo, even to the point that in this movie he was dressed like Han Solo.
Yeah.
with like the dirty white shirt and the blue pants and the boots.
It
looked like he went to the shit in Millennium Falcon and was like, oh, there's more of Han Solo's clothes? What better way to get on Leia's good side than to dress like him?
he didn't come off so great for me. I'm not a big... Not that I'm not a... Like, he did okay.
Yeah.
But he's not really that memorable of a character.
Yeah, in both movies for me.
Yeah, and in the last one, he you know, nearly died, like, pretty early. I mean, with a good amount of time left.
Yeah.
And he was in a coma, so... I don't know. I don't think he's underutilized, maybe.
Yeah.
In this one, he was, I think.
So
and
do we see big things for Finn in part 3, episode 9?
I think we have to.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think episode 9 is good. Like, episode...
Because they're clearing the way to make him a big character.
Yeah. Episode 7 was Rey. Episode 8 was Poe's coming to age. And I think episode 9 is going to be Finn. Yeah. What about Rey? Where are you at with Rey?
Well, she's good.
Are you comfortable with her being the leader? The lead of this whole franchise?
Yeah, in a way I am.
Or would you have rather had Poe?
No.
No Poe?
No. Well, I wouldn't think you'd call Han Solo the leader.
No. But you know what? He was more of a hero than Luke was in the movie.
Yeah.
I think that Han probably should have gotten more awards than Luke did. Luke just lost his hand. I think that Rey is the new Luke.
Yeah.
So with Poe being the new Han, Rey is the new Luke, and Finn is the new Leia.
Rey's going to inappropriately kiss. No, I guess it would be Rey and Finn are now. Yeah.
And they set it up in the first movie that's where they wanted to go. They wanted a love relationship between Rey and Finn, and then the public wanted a love relationship between Poe and Finn, which I kind of got the vibe that Poe was kind of into.
There was a scene in this last movie that I thought was like, remember we were talking, you know, with fan theories, and we said, well, they don't listen. Star Wars, they don't listen. Yeah. But I think Rian Johnson trolled a lot of people in a few ways, and I think this was one of them. Because I think there was a scene where you're like, oh, those two are...
What, Finn and Poe?
Yeah. Where he was,
early in the movie, right?
Yeah.
I think, well, and we'll talk about that in a bit. But so we have the new heroes, the introduction of Kylo and General Hux. What do you
Hux
think about
those? Hux is the one of the most hateable characters. Oh,
what a punk ass.
Yeah.
I hated him.
He's unlikable in so many ways. Like, you can't like him.
He's a worm.
Yeah.
He's a slimy little slug worm.
And he doesn't get hurt. Like, he gets battered around through both movies. He's been beat up by everybody. And he just keeps coming back. And
with more of a prickly attitude. Yeah. And I love Domhnall Gleeson.
Yeah.
He was amazing in Ex Machina. And then he's from the Harry Potter realm. But, God, he's my most hated character. I hate him more than any other character in any of the Star Wars movies.
Yeah.
I hate him more than that kid that played young Anakin Skywalker. So we're on board with how much we dislike him.
But it's not him. It's the character. Yeah, he plays a slime ball really good.
Yeah, he plays a good lackey.
Yeah.
Now, is he the new, I guess he would be the new Krennic from Rogue One, but then there was another character, that they brought back into Rogue One via CGI.
Yeah. I can't remember his name. Grand Moff Tarkin.
Yes. Yeah.
Grand Moff Tarkin was kind of a badass. Like, he threw his weight around a lot.
We're not getting any weight from the skinny man.
No. So I don't think. Yeah, he wasn't a worm. Slimy.
They made it so unbelievable that a ginger would have power in space. of all things, Domhnall Gleeson has power. What do you think about Kylo though?
I still don't know what's going on. Like.
He's a young boy trapped.
Yeah.
He's on the fence about everything.
That was the only reason, we'll talk about it more, but I think he's kind of a divisive character, too. Because I don't think people like him as a bad guy. He just comes across, like...
Very childlike.
Yeah.
Like, they explored that more in this movie.
Yeah. They definitely did, and they definitely pushed it more.
No, and I get the me part because this whole past two movies are his story to be the next Darth Vader.
Right.
You know, he's got the Knights of Ren, and we don't even see him.
No.
We haven't seen anybody from there. He fights everybody. It's the story of his coming of age. So he's like young Anakin. He's more Luke than Rey is at this point.
Right.
Because you don't know where he wants to go with everything. As far as Adam Driver goes, I like Adam Driver.
Yeah, he's fine. It's just, I don't know what they want to do with this guy. And that's why I came up with the idea of maybe, you know,
just going gray?
Yeah, because he seems gray. He seems like he doesn't know what he wants.
Yeah.
And he still doesn't.
And he's your prototypical millennial villain.
Yeah.
Like, just, oh, I can't have it my way. I won't have it at all. Yeah. Because his chambers and pouts. And I say millennial. I think he's like 36.
Yeah,
he's probably. So I don't think he's a millennial.
Probably close to my age.
Yeah.
So.
I know he's older, much older than I am. Well, not much older, but he's older than I am. I think we can. It's fair to say that we're both Star Wars fans.
Yeah.
We're not the diehards because we can fairly say that there are problems.
Yeah.
Where there's some people that are like, there are no problems in the Star Wars universe. Everything from episode 1 to episode 8 are amazing.
Yeah.
They should all be Hollywood's best movies.
Right.
But we're going to do a spoiler-free or a spoiler
That's
film.
Where I come from. I think that's why I have a different take on it, because I don't come as the greatest fan of Star Wars. I come as a fan that thinks, you know, all the movies have had problems, and if you really want to look at it, there's only been two good movies. I mean, before The Force Awakens.
Yeah.
The Ewoks were kind of trash. Oh, we were fun them. As kids. But
I loved them. Yeah, as a child, they were great.
But when I rewatch, you're like, oh my God. He just ruined it.
Yeah, that was a toy grab.
Yeah. So, you know, maybe the people that said, well, they've never made a bad Star Wars movie, and then they got to these, and they're like, well, these aren't the same, and they're, you know, George Lucas doesn't have his hand in there, and so I don't know. Maybe that's what it is.
George Lucas had his hand on those prequels.
Yeah.
And they were trash.
Yeah. George Lucas had his hand on the remakes that almost ruined Star Wars, too, so.
So maybe it's a good thing that he didn't have his hands on it, and he got the $4 billion that Disney offered. And frankly, for me, Star Wars isn't even, it's maybe top three as far as franchises for me.
Right.
Because Marvel, Harry Potter, even Lord of the Rings might take a higher ground than Star Wars for me because of those prequels.
Yeah, those prequels are bad.
The more shit you put out, the lower on the list you're going to get for me. But it's that time, so if you haven't seen The Last Jedi, turn your phone off until you see The Last Jedi, and then come back to this moment. So without any further ado, we're going to go right into our spoiler-filled Star Wars The Last Jedi review. So what did you, overall, where do you rank the movie? Like, as far as, like, for me, episode-wise, I think this might have been my second favorite episode.
Okay.
Behind Empire Strikes Back.
Oh. Maybe third.
Okay.
Maybe third or fourth. There's a lot of problems I have with it. Probably third.
Okay.
But there is problems I have with it. I didn't necessarily like, we talked about how we got trolled.
Yeah.
I didn't like a lot of the stuff that he trolled us with. And that was the Snoke stuff.
Yeah.
Ray's parents stuff.
And we've talked about it. The killing of Snoke, that was badass.
Yeah.
Like, that was almost Darth Maul cool as when he got killed.
Right.
Like, the lead up to it was when Snoke was using Kylo as a puppet. Like, I know everything that he's thinking of. I know what he's going to do. He's readying the lightsaber, and he's going to turn it on. He's going to kill you. And boom, he turns on the lightsaber and he splits Snoke in half. I thought that was awesome.
Yeah.
And the moment where he turns and him and Rey go into that battle, I was like, yeah, this is amazing.
Well, I still don't know if they had he turned. That's another thing is I don't know if he's turned yet.
I think he turned from puppet to master at this point.
Right.
Where he
but
was
I
like,
still don't know if he's all dark side yet.
No, I don't think so either. I think
he's been indoctrinated into believing a thing.
Yeah.
And
he's trying his best to stop believing in that thing and saying, there's no Sith, there's no Jedi.
He was close to saying, let's just, you know, throw all this away and start, you know, a better... But he would have wanted to do it under the guise of the, you know, the whatever they're called, the...
The Knights of Ren?
Or the First Order.
Yeah, well, yeah, he would just want to kill... He wanted to kill Luke...
Right.
And then he'd be done with everything, I think. You just, as long as you kill the last Jedi, you're done with it.
Right. And then we could, you know, everybody would be safe, everybody happy. But he's, you know, he's been indoctrinated and he thinks that Vader was the coolest. So. Yeah.
And the flashback scenes between Luke and Kylo were cool, too. Like the fight that he thought he was going to, Luke thought that Kylo was going to be super strong. And
the different perspective.
Yeah. And the Force Link, what did you think about the whole Force Link?
Well, they took us
to. They were Skyping.
Yeah. The amount of power that Force users had in this is way different. Like you see that in comic books, they had tons of powers. But in the movies, you never seen anything like this. Yeah. Like, they don't even know where they're at because they told us they don't know where Luke's at. They can't find him because he separated himself from the Force.
Yeah, and that came super late. That reveal. Right. I mean, we got more, like, you talked about the Rey stuff, the Rey's parents stuff. For years, everyone was speculating, like, Rey's got to be somebody.
Right.
And he was like, you're nobody.
Yeah.
And even Kylo said what Rian Johnson wanted the fans to hear, you know, you're nobody in this story.
Yeah.
Your parents sold you for booze money.
Yeah.
I felt let down.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to know, like, I thought there was a bigger story to her.
That, and with Snoke, you know.
Who is he?
They waved Snoke in our face this whole time. Now, I don't think, now that he's dead, he's less of a story, so we'll never know. And it's kind of like, we spent time trying to, like, figure out who he was.
Yeah, and was he as strong as everyone made him out to be?
He seemed like it.
I mean, because
they showed him so early. I was like, oh, wow, it's Snoke.
Yeah, he looked like Mike Myers in the third Austin Powers movie in his gold robe. It looked like Goldmember just got his head split a little bit.
Yeah, and
he was in a leisure suit the entire
movie.
They're
like, oh, Snoke's calling from a ship. I was like, oh, they're giving the Snoke fast, all right. And then
they did the hologram. The hologram was really cool.
Yeah.
And Hux was so much more of a weasel in this movie.
Yeah.
How do you survive that deep of a Force choke?
I don't know.
Like, I'm sitting there, I'm
that's
like,
what, oh, I said, he bounces back from everything. Yeah. Maybe he's got the Force.
Oh, could you imagine? He's the next Han Solo where everyone's thinking, like, he's a Jedi.
Yeah.
There were more redeeming parts than there were problems for me.
The Leia's Force use
was
bad. I thought that was bad.
I thought she was going to die. I feel like was the only way you...
Now that she's not dead...
Yeah.
She was the obvious one to kill.
Yeah.
What do you do with her in the next movie?
And they've already said that they're not using archive footage of her.
Right.
So what... Yeah, exactly.
You're going to have to CGI her 100% like Grand Moff Tarkin.
Yeah.
But...
Do they leave her on like a witness... Like I said, witness protection?
She's going to be on the planet.
And they go away.
Yeah.
And that's it. Maybe she's on Endor with the... Oh my God, they'll bring Ewoks back in.
She's on that... Whatever that... But that's that... That kind of... I know they had it written before she died.
Yeah.
And filmed. Mm-hmm. So you can't just go back and change the whole entire movie. But I would think you rewrite a scene and have her die.
Yeah. Were you happy with the Luke death?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was time.
Yeah. It was time. He goes... We saw Yoda.
Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah.
That was a cool moment.
And, you know, it shows you what we're, you know, he's not dying. He's
one with the Force.
Yeah, it's what we saw with Obi-Wan, mm-hmm. with Yoda, and his dad.
So there's still a chance for hologram Mark Hamill.
Yeah.
Which Force we'll probably, Ghost. Yeah, we'll probably get him.
Yeah.
But the final scene between Kylo and Luke, I thought that was great. Like,
yeah.
I wasn't expecting him to be a hologram.
No.
And I thought that was a really, really cool pull.
I was asking questions. I was like, oh, he cut his hair.
Yeah.
Okay. And I was like, wait.
And he cut his beard.
His beard looks darker and his hair looks darker, though. So I was like, what does that mean?
He had the same look from the flashbacks we saw when he was going to kill Kylo.
Yeah.
But just in his Return of the Jedi outfit.
Right.
Like at that point, you were like, oh, what's happening? I'm sitting there like, well, oh, he got a makeover.
Well, I wanted him to come back. What I personally, because we saw the X-Wing in the water, mm-hmm. I wanted him to come back and fight and him blow something up.
Yeah, I want to see badass Jedi Luke.
Yeah.
And I got Luke getting shot by everything an AT-AT had and just dusting it off. And he did the dirt on his shoulder move, like, and I'm doing it for the visual, but geez, man, that was a... a troll job too.
Yeah, and I like that part. So I'm not upset by Luke at all. I like the way they took it. And we knew it is this whole movie's passing of the torch.
Yeah.
And we, you know, Leia's going to die in the next one. You have to assume.
I feel like she's going to die between the movies. And we're not going to see her. They're going to be like, as we were going, it'll set it up like as we were going from this place to that place, yeah. A ship was destroyed and ran out of fuel or got compromised.
Or some, you know, bombs got dropped.
They introduce another assassin, maybe a bounty hunter that's already in the ranks.
Maybe that'll be their CGI, is somebody getting, like, somebody slipping in and killing Leia.
Oh, God, could you imagine the uproar we'd get? She's already dead, and then they kill her in the movie? Jesus Christ. What did you...
She needs to die, though. I mean, in the movie, she needs to die.
One of the things that I really liked and I made mention to was the exploration of different planets. So we got Crate with the crystal foxes and the salt, and I thought that was... Visually, that was great. Even the foxes served the... more important role than the porgs. Like, they ran the foxes ran in and then they got them out. But that other planet that they went to with the casino was amazing.
Yeah,
the backstory with the backstory to it. Those giant horse things that they rode.
Horse foxes.
That was really that was probably my favorite part of the movie.
And I thought what's his name did a great job. And
Benicio.
Like, yeah, I'm like,
with his stutter.
Yeah, like, he plays guys with, like, limited talking ability really well.
Yeah.
Like, in everything. Everybody he plays has a complicated speech pattern that you have to follow. The Usual Suspects, what was the movie?
The Wolfman.
Yeah, but the one where he plays the lawyer on drugs with Hunter S. Thompson.
I can't remember. Oh my God! Fear of Loathing, Fear Las of Loathing Vegas.
Las Vegas. Yeah.
The Sicario. He had a cool little accent in there too. So his double crossing was expected.
Yeah,
but I wasn't expecting him to just give away everything.
Yeah, I thought they played it, and maybe this is Rian Johnson's constantly effing with the fan. They play it like he's just gonna. Do the double cross, and he's gonna, you know, not just him, but everybody's gonna, you know, you don't think Snoke's gonna get sniped, and he does, and you think you're gonna see Rey's parents 13 different times, but then you don't.
Yep.
And then
like the scene when she's in the cave, and there's like 75 Daisy Ridley's snapping, and they go up to the crystal or the mirror essentially. And you're like, oh my God, here they come. And it's just her.
It's her again.
I was like, you gotta be shitting me.
So, like, I think that's... Whatever his technique is, I think that's him trolling us.
Yeah.
So, but... you know, there's a plan, and he has to follow it. And this is how he does it, I guess, so...
What did you think about Rose, the new character? Too much of Rose? We got a full backstory on this character.
Yeah, a little too much. And... For her to pass out again an hour before, come on, man.
I thought, like, when I'm watching in the theaters, I'm like, she's dead.
Yeah.
She kissed him, and she's dead. Okay. Right. One off, you're done.
Yeah.
But she'll be back. And that'll cause some sexual tension between Poe and Finn and Rey and Finn and whoever the hell else wants that.
The snarky humor was kind of our... I liked it. The bits that, you know, I thought it was kind of funny.
Yeah, there were parts where... You're sitting there, and the character, like Laura Dern's character, the Vice Admiral.
Yeah.
And going into it, I was like, I hate you. Because she seemed like a coward. And Poe called her out on being a coward. And then she turns into be your hero.
Right.
The light speed through that ship was amazing.
Yeah.
That was a good
line. With the no sound. Yeah. It was really good.
So overall, I was pleased with it. I don't see it being a 56% movie on Rotten Tomatoes from the audience.
I think that's weird, and you know, I'm trying to figure that out and rationalize it. I don't know why. I'm trying to figure out which group of audience hates it. Is it the hardcore, or is it the newcomers to it?
I think it's the hardcore, because we saw everybody reunite. We saw, Luke with C-3PO, with R2, with Jesus Christ, Chewbacca, with Leia, with the Millennium Falcon. We saw all the happy reunions that we wanted, all the characters. And then we saw a reunion that we were all waiting for that was kind of, I feel like they dropped the ball on it, was Phasma and
Finn. I was going to say that. I didn't even get to it because I forgot about it.
Yeah.
Because it was forgettable.
What a waste of talent and a character to have maybe 10 minutes of speaking roles.
And that's another troll job.
Yeah. And she died so easily.
Everybody wanted her to see her, and she plays this, you know, she's got the big wand, and
she's got the great, best storm, well, maybe the best stormtrooper design.
Mm-hmm. And,
wow.
They wave weapons at each other for about 5 minutes, and then that's it.
Yeah, and they kill, and Finn kills her. Finn knows how to use every single weapon that he's given.
Yeah.
He knows how to use the executioner wand. He knows how to use a lightsaber. Finn or Rey had to train on a lightsaber.
Yeah.
Finn's out there fighting in the woods with a lightsaber. It blows my mind the powers that this guy has. But the other thing that kind of sticks out to me was the new designs of like the Imperial Guards, the red ones with Snoke.
Yeah.
Like those weapons were really cool during that fight scene.
That was a really good one. I you want more of that? I'm sure they'll come up.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean,
we had the taser arm one from Force Awakens, then we had those, and then the executioner ones. I think they're called judiciary stormtroopers, but when they're going to pretty much decapitate the Rey and Finn and Rose, I was looking forward to that. But the way that it ended with the little boy being a Jedi, I thought that was good.
Yeah.
But is it
true? Or a rebel or whatever.
Is it truly needed for them to say, all right, there are still more rebels or Jedis?
Because there's, 20, there's 30, 40 of them maybe?
And there's one movie left.
Yeah.
Are we going to see that kid grow up?
Are we going to... Well, I don't know. Is that
the next chapter?
Are we going to see 40 people create the rebellion? Well, they sent out a signal.
And how the hell is that kid going to do anything?
Well, they sent
out... Oliver Twist sweeping up after...
They sent out a signal and got no response. But that doesn't mean...
Nobody heard it.
Right. And it could happen. Like, Maz could come there and with, 300 ships or...
Yeah.
That's why I think we're
going to... Lando can come in.
Right.
When that happened and they said, send out my personal code, Leia said, send out my personal code, I was like, shit, we were trolled by all the media. Lando Calrissian's going to come.
Right.
Nothing.
I think that's what's coming.
I hope
so. Because... right now, the actual fighting resistance is 30 people.
Yeah.
And the whole entire First Order, I guess, who is the Galactic Government, is going after them.
Yeah, and they have no ships. They have the Millennium Falcon.
Yeah.
And they have pretty much no weapons.
So...
Because there were no weapons at Crait. They had those really bad rust buckets, that they call them, the land speeders, the salt speeders. That didn't work. So you need to have something. Because you can't just have, unless they do a big Disney crossover and the Guardians of the Galaxy come in, but you can't really have those people. Like, I don't trust those people enough to carry on the torch and defeat the First Order. Because Rey's already been compromised with making the decision to go to Kylo and trying to save him. Finn's reckless. Poe's reckless.
Well, here's the thing.
Rose is half dead.
This is the problem that all the movies might have for me. In the end, they haven't given us enough story for that 30 years that we're missing, or whatever it is, between Empire Strikes Back.
Like 82 to 2015, around there.
They haven't given us enough. Because after Vader was beaten, how did a second Galactic Empire rise up? How did that happen?
Yeah, how did Snoke come back into power?
How did it happen, and how did they thrive? Like, they're actually better.
Yeah.
They have world-destroying technology. They have they basically have a tank, or whatever that beam was.
Oh, yeah, to open all the doors that they want.
Yeah.
They use Death Star technology. They had the Dreadnought. Like, how do you have that?
They're better than they were.
Yeah.
In only 30 years.
And the Stormtroopers are hitting things.
Yeah. They're better. And they're not even, because they're not clones.
That's true. They're just Finn and his family.
Yeah.
Just going out there.
So that's where they've kind of dropped the ball in general for me, is how did we get here?
Yeah.
And I know it can't all be just Kylo Ren going to the dark side.
Yeah.
Because there was a reason there was a dark side. There had to have been, who knew like Kylo had to have a dark side to go to. Yep. Who was running that dark side?
Yep. And how did Hux get to power? Because like he's younger than everybody you see on all the ships. How did Snoke come into the play? Right. Like
that. And that's my original like. If you don't preach about the dark side, there is no dark side.
Yeah.
If there's no dark side to go to, I guess if you defeat it, don't ever start this Jedi shit up again.
Yeah.
Don't do it again. And because once you start telling everybody there's a light side, well, what's the opposite?
Yeah,
you're giving everybody hope. And then you recreate the dark side.
Yep. And we don't really see what they're doing that's so bad. You know what I mean?
Yeah. This time around, no.
For the rebels to go over there and just start this war up.
Yeah.
Like, we don't see them imprisoning people. They're just training and they're a military.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I put it second. You put it fourth. Still gives me hope that the trilogy is going to end pretty well. I don't get the trolls. I don't get the people that don't like it, but...
I don't... Yeah. It's a much better movie than 56%. It's a really good movie.
Better than Force Awakens for me.
And, I haven't... Pace loved it.
Yeah.
He said it was his favorite one.
Yeah.
I haven't really met too many people that haven't liked it.
Yeah, and Chuck loved it. It wasn't his favorite, but he loved it. Yeah.
I mean, I like...
He's a diehard Star Wars fan.
Yeah, I like A New Hope. I liked Force Awakens a lot, so maybe three.
Okay, Force Awakens beats this one for you?
Maybe, yeah.
Okay.
I was looking forward to it, and I think the action moved it along a little bit faster. This is all story.
Yeah.
But I don't think this was meant to be the greatest Star Wars film.
It was that bridge.
Yeah.
And normally, you don't... In the second movie is usually, out of a trilogy, isn't usually the best one.
Right.
The only one that I can think of is, like, Captain America the Winter Soldier. Was probably my favorite of that franchise. But, like, Desolation of Smaug for The Lord of the Ring, or for The Hobbit, wasn't my favorite of the three. So that's just how I look at it.
Yeah, I just don't think people... I don't think people are giving this or putting this in perspective.
Yeah.
It's a good movie. It wasn't meant to be the best one. It wasn't meant to be... It wasn't supposed to knock your shoes off. No. That's the next one.
Yeah, it's going to set up everything.
So, and I think it did a great job of that.
Yeah. So we'll welcome back our listeners who tuned out. And just in time for our plugs and where we're at on social medias. We're on Twitter, The Grays, and that's THEGRYS. We're on Facebook and Instagram, The Galaxy Wars Podcast, and we're on SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, and anywhere else you can stream podcasts as The Galaxy Wars Podcast. We'll see you next time. Bye.